I just do a quick overview over a couple of weeks of just a little bit of our Baptist history and a very generalized overview. I know I make the historians in the room probably nervous as if we're flying along at 1,000 years every 5 minutes or something. So, but you remember, what's that?
Somebody's got to do it. I take keep it really slow.
That's true. That's true. So you remember that Jesus said, and this is where we base our historical beliefs on this also. Jesus said that upon this rock, referring to himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so Jesus said that his churches would continue on earth from the day he began them from his early ministry there to his return at the end of the age. And so we believe that there's always been a group of people, this line has been unbroken, that have believed what the New Testament taught and practiced, and that there have been Bible believers that share this unbroken line from the New Testament to current day. And as I said, it's not always obvious in history who these people were, and we'll explain some of that as we go along. But we believe that Baptists have adhered to that line through the centuries. Well, if you remember last week, I got through maybe the early 200s, 300s, and Catholicism became the state church. Constantine made Christianity the state church, and Catholicism would grow out of that later. But Roman Catholicism grows stronger and stronger then and solidifies its power across the really Western Europe, mostly, some into Africa. And now the true New Testament churches are more veiled and many of them unknown because of the persecution from the Roman Catholic Church. So this is a time when we see those, we mentioned those Waldensians, the people that were pushed into the mountains, the valleys there, and they were greatly persecuted anywhere where they weren't Roman Catholic. They were persecuted. And the reason that these people, these true Christian people are really unknown is because when a village would be destroyed or a pastor would be burned at the stake or killed, many times we have in history where if someone's burned at the stake, they take all their writings and throw them in the fire with them. And so we have really a sad thing when you think about it. These people that may have existed for hundreds of years in the mountains, they would have writings, they would have, you know, concordances, as it were, and you know, about the scripture and their beliefs, and many times when these people were destroyed, all their writings were destroyed also. A very sad and difficult thing, but that is really the history of the world, how that works, and so very little is known because so much was destroyed, but then we move on into the 1500s, and I would say here at this point that, again, Baptists are unique because every denomination that's come into existence since Christ's early earthly ministry was man-founded except for the Baptists. And later in 1517, Catholic monk named Martin Luther, he would split from the Catholic Church, and actually next Sunday is the 499th anniversary of that act. Very interesting. And so he split from the church. We call this the Reformation. And Baptists did not start with the Reformation. There were churches, true New Testament churches before the Reformation, before Martin Luther. And then Martin Luther began the Lutheran Church, and of course then what he did, because they really didn't know, they didn't truly follow the scripture here, and there are several areas where he didn't, but the one area was that they didn't understand this idea that they thought that the religion and the state needed to be the same. So Martin Luther set up a Lutheran church and basically what became a Lutheran state. So the church and the state are the same. And of course we don't believe that, but this is kind of all they knew. They didn't take it any further. And then because these Baptists, we'll call them, they weren't named Baptists then, because they did things like they didn't baptize babies, they waited till a person was saved to be baptized, the Lutheran Church became very harsh against the true Christians. It's not too long after this that we have a name that appears, and we become very popular, but it's a name of derision for these true New Testament churches, and they're called Anabaptist, and that means it's a name of derision. Again, it was not meant as a compliment. That name means rebaptizer. So now they're going to call these people, they're rebaptizing people when they're adults because they've gotten saved. And so they're calling them Anabaptists, and that name will stick. And we'll hear a lot about Anabaptists as we study each week. Luther's movement sparks a number of other denominations across Europe. You have John Calvin, again, a man begun by a man. John Calvin begins the Scottish Reformation in Scotland, and he begins essentially the Presbyterian Church. Then we have Catholic England. And England is a good Catholic state. Henry VIII comes along, and his first marriage doesn't go well, and he wants to divorce his wife. And so and this is a little bit later, and the Pope says, you can't divorce your wife. We don't believe in divorce. And so Henry says, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm the king. I can do anything I want. So Henry divorces his wife, one of several that he will divorce. It's tough to be a Baptist and a wife of Henry VIII during this time. But so he divorces his wife, and the Pope says, well, you just broke the rules. We don't believe in divorce, so I'm going to excommunicate you. So he excommunicates King Henry VIII out of the church, out of the Roman church. And Henry says, essentially, wait a minute, I'm the king. You can't excommunicate me. I excommunicate you. And so he kicks the entire Roman church out of England and makes the Church of England becomes a Protestant church there in England. So now we have Protestantism in England because Henry kicks out the Catholic Church. Essentially, it is very, very similar to the Catholic Church, but in name only almost. And he starts the Church of England, the Episcopal Church, also known as the Anglican Church. There's different names there for essentially the same thing. We have later, a couple hundred years later, we have a good man named John Wesley, who is an Anglican Anglican minister of the Church of England in England. And it's hard to describe exactly, but people began to come to him for spiritual advice. They met on Thursdays as he talked to them about these areas that they wanted to talk to. They weren't being fed in the sense in the Anglican Church. And these societies sprang up that essentially became the Methodist Church. And Wesley did not want to separate from the Church of England, but eventually did. And we have the start of the Methodist Church. And so I point all this out just because Baptists are not Protestant in the same way, in the way that these other churches are, Presbyterian, Methodist, Anglican Church. These churches all came from or came up after the Reformation, where these Baptists came, never stopped this line, this unbroken line from the time of the New Testament. And so I wanted to just talk about that. And just I won't go any further today. We'll finish this next time. But this is the wonderful heritage that we have as Baptists. And each week we'll look at an event or a Baptist hero of the faith. And I just kind of want to go through this so we understand, because many times there is this idea that, well, we're Protestant. Well, we are not Protestant. We did not come out of the Reformation. Protestant comes from the word protest, that people protested the Catholic Church. We were before Martin Luther and the Reformation, so we are not considered Protestant. All other denominations are considered Protestant except for Catholics. So there's Catholics, Protestants, and there's Baptists. And so this is how we believe and where these beliefs came from. I just wanted to take a minute this morning and explain that.